April 18th, 1989, what many Americans regard as the most important trial in the United States began with little fanfare in Las Vegas, Nevada federal court. Although it was well covered by the local media, in stark contrast to the Oliver North trial, the national print and broadcast media were conspicuously absent. It was almost as if an invisible dome had descended over Las Vegas to prevent any satellite uplink from reaching the rest of the nation. For nearly 2 years, Lieutenant Colonel James Beau Bryce had been under indictment for misuse of a passport. The charge had been leveled at Bryce as a result of a trip he made to Burma in 1986. U.S. government prosecutors have contended that Bryce lacked official sanction for his activities in Southeast Asia in pursuit of American POWs and missing in action. Bryce, one of the most highly decorated Green Beret commanders of the Vietnam era, has countered that he has been so charged in order to shut him up about his discovery in the Golden Triangle headquarters of General Kuntsov that high-level U.S. officials and intelligence operatives have been actively involved in massive drug smuggling for over 20 years.
And the final support was controlled given by Richard Armitage, who said at a time. And after the Vietnam War, Richard Armitage was a prominent narcotic personnel, trafficker in Bangkok.
In Bangkok,
yeah, after the Vietnam War.
Countless attempts to place this evidence before Congress and the national media have been met with responses ranging from polite rebuffs to outright refusal. Repeatedly during the course of preparation for the trial, the three successive U.S. attorneys prosecuting the case stated that they would drop the charge if any evidence of official sanction for his travel had been presented. Although Bryce had offered testimony from several witnesses, including U.S. officials, verifying this, the judge attempted to exclude such testimony in preliminary hearings, even to the extent of issuing a gag order. To most knowledgeable observers of the case, it had become very clear by the start of the trial that this was indeed an official effort directed at the highest levels of the U.S. government to railroad Bryce.
So we think that Paul Bryce is right, and that these charges against him are unjust. He's a great American hero.
This case isn't about politics or foreign policy, but Bryce and his attorneys are trying to prove otherwise.
I'm glad that it's a fact before the public. It's not me on trial here. It's the government and their drug smuggling, and it's the prisoner of war issue. And it's been me who's been wanting to get this thing over.
During opening arguments, Bryce's attorney, Lamont Mills, told the jury he won't dispute the government's charges. Mills admits Bryce did use a false passport when he returned to the country in late 1986, but he says the real story is why he did it. Bryce maintains the government sent him to Southeast Asia on a mission to find POWs, but the White House and the Pentagon deny any involvement.
I wanted to go to trial because this story needs to be told. I felt through a jury trial, a public trial, that the plight of the prisoners of war might be focused upon, and government involvement in drug smuggling to promote covert operations that Congress will not approve of should be focused upon.
The U.S. attorney says the case is not about politics, but about the simple misuse of a passport. What's your reaction to the government calling you a beer can commando?
Former Green Beret Beau Bryce has been acquitted on charges of using a phony passport. In federal court this morning, Judge Philip Crowe said he had no choice but to toss out the case. He says the government charged Bryce under the wrong statute.
Former Green Beret Beau Bryce, the federal judge has thrown out a felony passport charge against him. Federal Judge Phil Crowe dismissed the case against Bryce today, saying the government simply brought the wrong charge. Bryce says he's pleased with the judge's decision, but that he still has a story to tell about what's going on in Southeast Asia.
It's not over until the prisoners of war home. It's not over until Richard Armitage is investigated and this government drug business is exposed.
of the enemy fouls out. We don't even get a chance to take the field.
Such comments by a United States attorney following nearly 2 years of persecution of Lieutenant Colonel Bryce and the expenditure of many thousands of taxpayers' dollars are alarming. If Maddox's statements are true, the implications are profoundly disturbing. As the Iran-Contra scandal continues to unravel, revealing President Bush as more than a willing participant in numerous illegal activities, his direct interference in this case would seem to be a distinct possibility. Such behavior by our chief executive and his legal representative in the state of Nevada compromises our judicial system and violates long-cherished standards of American jurisprudence.
The government apparently hasn't given up on trying to convict both Wrights. A grand jury is now apparently looking at brand new charges. The government is still after Green Beret Colonel James Beau Wright. A federal grand jury has subpoenaed samples of Wright's handwriting. Yesterday, illegal use of passport charges were thrown out against Wright because the government filed the wrong charges. Today, word leaked out that the grand jury had taken up the Wright case again, and that the Wright's attorney, Lamon Mills, was hopping mad.
It is unethical. It is childish. If that's true, that breaches everything I know about the grand jury process. It shows someone who's embarrassed and humiliated because they did it wrong and their case was thrown out of court. If the man is guilty, let him come in with an indictment and let us go to trial and establish our case. But to release things to the press, when you're just starting an investigation, violates everything I know about the grand jury process in this country and the Constitution upon which it's founded, and I'm mad.
I wish I would have been able to present to the public exactly why they charged me. I was told that I would serve 15 years as a fellow. I was promised aggravated charges and hostile witnesses if I did not agree to cover up what I found in Burma in 1986 and 1987. I'm going to be about finding prisoners of war. They won't prosecute me for that, and they're certainly going to have the chance.
Can we have the lights, please?
I think I missed some. What was it the federal prosecutor said on the courthouse steps? It's important that we covered that segment of this talk because it leads directly into something that I'm going to cover next. The purpose of the importation and sale of illegal drugs to the American people was to finance the alien-connected projects and other black projects which they knew they could not take to Congress for funding. For two reasons. One, everything they were doing was illegal under the Constitution and Congress could not, in all ethical and moral standards, approve those projects or approve funding. The second reason was they believed, and with some rightfulness, that if they told Congress, it would be the same as telling the public. What happened next, or a few years later, is of profound significance. It is one of the most heinous crimes that this secret government has ever committed, and ranks, in my estimation, right alongside the sale of drugs to our children. And that is the assassination of the President of the United States. There have been three presidents who have left office directly because of action of MJ-12, one of them by murder, assassination, however you want to dub it, it's all the same thing. President John F. Kennedy found out somehow that the CIA was behind the drug smuggling and the sale of drugs to the American people. And if you'll remember correctly, that was the years that the hippie movement began and the flower children began to come out. And they were looking for answers because they were disillusioned. And one of the answers where they found solace was drugs. And President Kennedy was a very idealistic man. I think when he took the presidency, he fully intended to play the game until he discovered the weight of the position and the importance of the position and the trust that the American people placed in the president. And I sincerely believe that he and his brother sat down and decided that that was going to be the first honest presidency. They attempted to get rid of corporate crime, organized crime. He attempted to do things right. He was idealistic. He was charismatic. The people followed him. They loved him. We still love him. What happened to him was a terrible blow. I was sitting in a barracks. I had the, what you call the watch. And part of the watch was so boring that I was actually watching television. And what I was watching was the Kennedy motorcade in Dallas, and I was on an Air Force base called Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, Texas. And what I saw was a man whom I believed in with all my heart, struck down in the street by a hail of bullets in a most undignified manner. And I cried. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. The tears came out of my eyes and I couldn't stop them. And I felt a great emptiness in my chest. And I knew at that moment that the world had changed and would never again be the same for me. And it never has. But I didn't know then what I was to learn later. What I was to learn later is I read in documents prepared by the Office of Naval Intelligence. And how did they know? Because they had a part in it. President Kennedy was ordered to be assassinated by MJ-12 because he had discovered that the CIA was importing and selling drugs to our children, and he ordered them to stop it. And he told them, if you don't stop it, you're going to be sorry because I'll stop it and you'll all pay the price. Well, they didn't like that. They knew they would lose a lot of money. They knew they would not be able to accomplish their objectives. The second thing he told them is, I want you to implement a plan to reveal the presence of aliens on this earth to the American people within the following year. They didn't like that either, and they thought it was premature. They had already done a study which indicated that the American people would panic, that the panic would lead into anarchy, which would cause the collapse of the government, that our religious structure would collapse, that a large segment of the people would begin worshiping the aliens, that our economy would collapse, the stock market would collapse. They had doom and gloom and dark clouds for everything. I don't believe that will happen. And it certainly, in my estimation, did not justify the murder of the President of the United States.